All right, let's go. Okay, Don Cherry's Great Finance on the air, and that wall, W-O-L-L, is three
he's
and
like
nothing.
A wall.
Yeah, he's like a wall. Yeah, I never thought of that. What did they call it? The Berlin Wall. Remember it was the big
deal? Didn't they call Johnny Bauer the China Wall?
China Wall, yeah. Why do they call him the China Wall? I never figured that out. Never could figure that out. We call him, I know, the big wall. The big wall.
Yes, the Great Wall.
Oh, the Great Wall. You've been on it, eh?
Yeah, and it is something, boy. You go there, it just goes forever. Yeah. And
when we get into this,
anyway,
I don't know. I just want to. I just try.
Well, what do you think? Well, the last game this Sunday in Toronto, the last game they played that we saw was L.A. And boy, it was
L.A. Cindy. I mean that, Cindy. You had to see their helmets.
They're pretty brutal, were they?
Well, I'm telling you, they're a light. I don't know whether I'm more disappointed in the way they played or the way they looked, and I think it's the way they looked.
Do you think that affects? It really does. You think
absolutely.
I remember what Tiger Williams said about the Vancouver Canucks. Remember those awful uniforms they had.
Oh, yeah.
What did he say, Tim?
He said we're playing like clowns. Now they're dressing us like clowns.
I thought they were pretty good sweaters. I think they were the ones that had the big V in the front.
Right, and it was all the different colors.
Yeah.
Oh, it did look like a clown.
I remember
when they Philly was wearing those silly pants?
Oh, those silly pants. Someday we'll go into that.
Yeah.
That is unbelievable. What did they call them?
Cooperalls. They weren't Cooperalls, but they called them Cooperalls.
Yeah, and you know what I think of that, though? I think of Bill Barber. And I think I stole the story, but I'm going to tell it again. It was when Gretzky scored his, 35th goal? Or
50th goal in 35 games or something like that.
So I'm doing the color. So I'm walking out with him afterwards. He's walking to his bus, and I'm kind of walking out too. And he's cursing and swearing and going bananas. And I said, Billy, what are you so upset about? I mean, it was nothing game. And he says, yeah. He said 30 years from now, the only thing they'll remember when he breaks his record is me falling down and he was playing the point on the power play and he couldn't catch Gretzky.
Some players are noted for their infamy of not being what about when Sittler scored all those goals on your poor little goalie in Boston?
Yeah, Dave Reese, yeah.
Davey Reese, that's what he said. I'll always be known as that.
Man, do you know why? You know why they stopped the Cooperalls wearing them?
Why?
Because they the players slid too much, especially on new ice.
Yeah.
When they fell, it was just like they were on.
Yeah, the socks kind of.
They were like on a sled, and they said that the players said they had no control when they fell, so they had to stop it.
Yeah, they had if you have socks on, socks will drag a little bit.
Yeah, because they're knit or whatever.
That's why when I watch a hockey game, when I see new ice out there, I think of all the bad things that happened on new ice. Well, Tim, I have to say this wall looks pretty good. And everybody, when he got the shutout, all the Toronto players went nuts.
Is Toronto that good right now?
I am telling you, it looked like Toronto was playing, was just having some fun.
You said it was like a pro team playing against just like a college team or something.
It was like they could turn. They could have made that any score they wanted to.
You know, though, Dad, I got to say, I hope Campbell does well. Like the goalie, but I'm waiting for him to break. And if he doesn't, you wonder how many goalies in the minors are that good that don't get a shot.
Well, you know, he's now that they get that wall, I mean, now then they can play him against anybody. It's a funny name, W-O-L-L. And when he got that shutout, I thought they were going to go nuts. They have a pretty good spirit going there, and they picked up Kyle Clifford. You know, they need guys like that.
How about that goal Jason got on against L.A.?
Holy smokes, did he? Yeah, and Richie was in front and screening him.
Man, do you know that Jason, he only gets he's like 18th on the team in ice time.
Yeah, I know he doesn't get much
time. And he's got four goals. So you figure... he's the other guy's got six more goals, but he plays twice as much.
They play I think, and I would play him too, it would be Matthews. I think he plays over 20 minutes.
You wouldn't have to pace Jason Spezza, would you? Like, because he's an older player? No.
Are you kidding? The way he can skate?
And, yeah, that's what I thought.
I mean,
so it's not like they're saving his career or anything for not playing.
Doesn't make you wonder that, you know, guys, I mean, the older guys seem when they play, I mean, it makes you wonder, like, they're so good.
So the other thing, game that we watched last night was Pittsburgh and Montreal. Montreal won.
Scott Mellenby. Now, tell us the story about Scott Mellenby resigning as assistant general manager.
What this is the rumor that was going around, is that Montreal's told Bergevin that he's not going to be back.
Oh, is that right?
As a GM. And they are talking to the guy from, I forget his name, who was the GM of New York Rangers, who wrote that letter, was all upset when Tom Wilson threw the guy down. So they're getting him. And they told Scott that, you know, they weren't, you know, they were making a change in their department, and he wasn't going to be part of it. And so he resigned. That's the rumor.
So, Dad, can I ask you, do you think that the GM of, or any assistant in that organization, has to speak French?
Yes.
Really?
I do. I don't think
Scott speaks
Doesn't sound
French.
Like it, does it? But we'll have to find out where he was born in that. But yeah, I really do. I mean, in Montreal, that's the way it's going. It's I hate to say.
Well, you have two press, and one speaks French, and one speaks English. Yeah. And then
Bergeron's pretty good.
Yeah, and you know, so the question is,
I don't think he's going.
Well, that was the way it was.
Yeah, I know that's a rumor, but I don't think he's going. You know what I think? You know what I think? If I was a Montreal Canadiens, what I would do is I would write this year off. I mean, really. I mean, they're not going to make the playoffs. Let's forget it. And next year they'll have Weber back. He'll be playing. He better be playing. Price will have this. Price knows he's got to smarten up and play the way he can play. And everybody be ready to go for next year. I think they're going to write
miss the playoffs. And
well, they're going to miss
it. They get in the lottery and they get first pick and they get Shane Wright. And
no, they won't get. Arizona's got that all wrapped. And the Montreal game, they did win. They beat Pittsburgh. They had 50 shots. Allen was in the net. 50 shots. At Pittsburgh should have won the game. But let's face it. It looks like they got down at Toffoli. Tyler Toffoli. Christian Dvorak. And Josh Anderson said they were plus +4. Now, that's pretty good. That's about the highest plus that I remember. I get all the stats and everything.
Something happened last night, Cindy, you don't see very often. A goal was counted and the puck didn't cross the goal line.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Well, then. Josh Anderson had a breakaway on an open net.
Yeah.
And it got tripped, so it would have been a penalty shot.
Yeah.
And if it's a penalty shot with the goalie out, it's an automatic goal.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think there's somebody said there's two, I can't remember, but there's two ways a goal can be scored without the puck crossing the goal line.
That's, I see guys throw their stick.
Yeah, if a guy throws their stick on an open net, that's another one.
Yeah, but I've seen guys throw sticks. What do they got to lose? If one guy can score, Anderson, I liked him to score because he's a good guy. And Canadians, this is my final day on him, Canadians this year, or I should say this year, is that they're going to, I wouldn't fire anybody. I would keep Bergeron. I would see how they do at the start of the year. And because write this year off because you're not going to make it to the playoffs anyhow.
So, Dad, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Spreads.ca. They're a Canadian-owned online casino and sportsbook. And if you sign up now and use the promo Grapes, you get they'll match your deposit up to $250. You get 10 spins on the big wheel for some big dough. On your first sports bet, they'll bet you $25, or they'll spot you $25. And last night they had they had what they call a booster bet. And if the Canadiens, Oilers, and Senators won, it was 40-1 odds. And Montreal won, and Edmonton won, but Senators lost. So I bet $2, hoping to get 80. But in that Senators game, playing LA with the chrome helmets, Brendan Lemieux.
And white gloves. And white gloves.
To boot.
Yeah, Brendan Lemieux
Tkachuk?
Yeah, Brady? Yeah, Brady Tkachuk got into it, and Claude bit him. Not Claude.
Brady.
Yeah, that's a Freudian slip, not Claude. Lemieux bit him. Brendan bit him.
I could have seen his dad doing that too, because he was that type of player also, probably.
I saw Brendan. Remember we saw him play? Who was he playing for?
We saw Brendan play in the minor midget. He was, I think he played for the Red Wings.
Yeah.
And he played then like he plays now. Didn't bite anybody, but he was like, the referees hated him, and he was pushed guys out to the whistle.
He was thrown out of the game that game.
Yeah, I remember the one game he was thrown out of the game, and you and I were at the ice sports. We turned around the corner, and there's Claude. His eyes were just going tilt. And
he was assistant coach.
He was assistant coach. And we go, hey, Claude, and you sit there. We go, a tough penalty. Remember, he just blew up.
That wasn't a penalty. He went nuts. Would you? Yep. He just went. But that's what happened when you had your sons involved.
Yeah. So anyway, they were in this. There was a scrap, and I got to say, Brady went after a smaller LA guy, and Brendan jumped in. And they started to wrestle.
You're going to call him Claude, eh?
Claude, yeah. And they started to go, and they fell on top, and the linesman fell on top of him, and then he bit him supposedly twice.
Yeah, he bit him on one hand. He says, wait a minute, he bit me on the other hand, too.
That's not the first time. You've been in a couple kerfuffles with players biting, haven't you?
Well, I never bit anybody, but I remember.
You got bit.
I got bit. I remember I was in a fight with a guy. I don't know what happened. He was down. I must have knocked him down. And I had him by the hair, and somehow my thumb got into his mouth. Honest to God, he was going to chew my thumb off.
And he was crunching down on it.
He was going to bite my thumb off. And I thought, well, I got to.
You were saying, the more you hit him, the harder he
bit. Harder I hit him, the harder. So I didn't know what to do. I really didn't know what to do. Now, I noticed he had no teeth in the front. And I thought, well, I got to rip it out. And I ripped it out, and it just
blood. And you went through the hole of his no front teeth.
And it came out the front. And boy, then he had, it was long hair back in those days. And I grabbed him by the hair. Uh-oh. Believe me, I was excited. And that was a good, but I never ever bit anybody. I don't think I ever bit anybody.
How about the time John Wensink in Rochester bit a guy on the back, and your infamous quote to the papers way back then?
It was in Buffalo, and I think it was Jim Lorenz they bit or somebody, and they brought Polaroids.
They said,
here, we got proof that John Wensink bit somebody. Yeah. What did you say?
Oh, yeah. Now I remember. I said, that's what I like, hungry hockey players.
Oh, that really went over well in the press.
Yeah, that did go over very big.
I think you got a call from the NHL, didn't you, about that?
I know, I got.
There's no doubt he'll get suspended.
Well, if you get fired, well, that guy for New York Rangers threw the glove at
Panarin,
Marchand.
Yeah.
Panarin or whatever.
Panarin? Yeah, like the
bread. Yeah, and he got fined $5,000 for throwing a glove, and it just hit him in the stomach. But I don't know. But I like Brendan Lemieux. I mean,
he'll get suspended, I bet, for that couple of games.
And he bit him twice. He showed his hand twice.
Yeah. The funny thing is, they showed Claude and Keith fighting. So this was like second generation fighting, because they fought in that world tournament.
Yeah.
And it was a good fight.
Well, that was
because people don't remember Claude Lemieux. He could fight when he wanted to.
I hated to fight a guy that was afraid. Not afraid, but whatever it is, whatever.
You were really critical of him on Coach's Corner constantly.
I remember in the big goal. This is he was behind the net, and he put it out to the right point. That's where he should have been.
Yeah, that was at the World Tournament.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, this is so the puck went around the point. The guy shot it, and I think Hull tipped it in. So I really give it to him. I said, what the hell, you're putting it around to the right point? That's where you... And so it was really something. So the next morning we had to get up. Ron McLean and I had to get up early, about 5 o'clock. We had to catch a flight. I don't know why we had 7 o'clock. But anyhow, we had to be there. And we walk in the Air Canada room. There's one person in there. And it's Claude. I don't know.
You have a habit of running into him. My memory of him was when you were the judge on Battle of the Blades many years ago. And we were in the back room there, and they had coffee and little donuts and all that stuff. And he was there with his wife and his kids. So it had to be a while ago.
Well, his wife didn't.
So Brendan, it probably was Brendan.
Little kid. Yeah, they were little tiny kids.
Yeah, now that I think of it,
little tiny kids. So I had to go, but I thought, oh boy, this is right after you gave it to him about something. So I'm pretending I'm looking for sugar in my coffee because I go, I want to see if there's a confrontation between you and Claude, right? So I go, oh, here we go. And he's walking in, and his kids ran up to you and asked you for your autograph. It was so funny.
Well, and I remember his wife didn't like me, though.
I know. Well, you could tell the wife really didn't like you.
And Claude,
he was like, but what you could do. And you really turned it on with his kids.
Oh, I can milk that pretty good.
Oh, you can. When you want to make a point, you were really making a point of how much his kids
And then he
you.
Won. Remember, he won, and he said he'd come over, and he said, oh, boy, I remember him talking. I talked to him later on. He says, boy, I was afraid to go over and what you were going to say to me.
Now, I remember talking to him, and he said he had never been more nervous in his life. He goes, hockey games, Stanley Cups, he goes, anything, than going out and doing that. I remember him saying that because he says, you don't want to embarrass yourself.
I don't know how they do it. I really, when I see those guys skate.
Yeah, so the people in the States that are listening, they don't know, the Battle of the Blades was a show where retired hockey players got with figure skaters.
Yeah, Bob Probert.
And they would do a figure skating routine.
Right.
And then they would have the winner. So it's kind of like Dancing with the Stars on Ice, but with hockey players. And you can't believe how good these hockey players are doing the stuff. And I remember there was a big controversy because the first year was Bob Probert and Ty, right? That's what they did, Battle of the Blades, and they showed Ty and Probert, and they had all the fights and everything like that. And then they were all had to wear figure skates, and Ty goes, no, I'm not wearing figure skates.
Yeah, so he came to the thing, and Probert had skated all summer in those figure skates to get used to them.
And with Ty the toe picks and all this to get used to it. And Ty came to the show.
No, I'm not wearing them.
I'm not wearing them.
And Ty was really good.
Yeah, but he was wearing hockey skates, which was not fair. No.
And the first guy they voted out was Probert.
And Probert, and everybody tuned in to see Probert.
Of course they did.
Yeah.
Well, I know. I would have watched it. They should have rigged it somehow.
Yep.
But Probert was gone, and everybody loved Probert, too.
You didn't like being the judge, did you?
Oh, I don't know what I was doing there. They weren't friendly to me.
You liked everyone. You were, you know, as people think that you're critical and all that, you hated saying anything negative about those players because, you know, what they could do.
And as you said, they were as nervous.
Unbelievable.
And even Ty, I remember Ty saying, I was just shaking the night before. He says, because you don't want to embarrass yourself, right? And, you know, you don't want to lift the girl and drop her. And you're the guy that dropped the figure skate.
One guy dropped.
Yeah, there was a couple of times they really hurt. So, but you know what? The thing is, remember we went to see it?
Oh, yes, at the Hershey Center.
We went to see it at the Hershey Center. And live, like you can watch it on TV. You watch it on TV, it's okay. But you go watch it live. It's unbelievable.
They are so fast when they skate by.
I couldn't believe it when I see those guys that you played hockey because remember Al Arbor and I would fool around.
Oh, that was funny. Can I tell that story? I remember we were in Rochester. I was only 5 or 6 years old. It was over Christmas. And the Ice Capades used to come in to Rochester.
Yeah.
So that meant that you were going away. So you had one final practice. And Joanne, his daughter, and I, because we could skate after the practice. So we're waiting for you guys to get off the ice. And the Ice Capades guys, people were watching. And you and Al Arbor were making fun of them. And you were holding hands and you were skating with pirouettes and you would throw them up in the air. I mean, Joanne and I couldn't believe what we were seeing, that you were so good at figure skating. And we looked at the Ice Capades people and they were not happy.
No, and you know what's funny about it? Yeah, I remember that.
I remember it like it was yesterday.
That wasn't like Al Arbor to do that stuff either.
No.
Now, Daryl Sly and I.
Yeah. Al Arbor, I remember he had his leg up and he was on one leg.
Yeah.
And you were pulling him around and then throwing him. And it was really something to see. And I couldn't believe
I'm glad you liked it, Cindy. We made a lot of enemies that day.
Yeah,
and you know
did.
What? They soften the ice, eh? For figure skaters, they don't make it hard. And for the hockey players, the ice is hard. And for figure skating, they make it a little softer.
Well, you can hear it. Like, I was surprised, too. You could when we were at the Hershey Center, you could really hear them scrunching that ice.
Yeah, and in hockey, they have it hard.
Yeah.
Well, Cindy, I want you to talk about what do you call it? Cherry's Closet?
Coach's Closet.
Oh, Coach's Closet.
Pun. Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing, boy. They're great suits that I had made. I had them made at John the Coop.
Yep, John at the Coop. So if people go to Coop, COOPINK, Inc.ca, they'll see it, or just Google Coach's Closet, and all the items are there. And 100% of all the money goes to the Don Cherry Pet Rescue Foundation.
And there's the shirts there. And
shirts.
The ties,
oh, there's a lot of cool stuff.
And my cufflinks.
Yep, yep.
Everything's
a lot of cool
there. And they're mine.
That's right. That's right. So check it out. I have a couple good stories with a lot of the items, and it's a lot of fun to read.
So, Dad, yeah, on the internet, there's a video going out, and I don't know who made it, but it was titled "The Most Violent Man in the History of Hockey," and they say it was Larry Zidell. Now, you roomed with Larry. Is that true? Was he the most violent guy in the history of the NHL?
No, Larry Zidell, you had to do something to him or a teammate before he'd do something. But I roomed with him, and I roomed with him about a year, and I remember when we go on the ice, and he says, "I think we should be like football." I get the puck behind the net, and I'd holler to you, X. And I'm like, what the heck is this guy talking about?
He wanted specific breakout plays.
Yeah, he went, and
he was before his time.
He was before his time. I remember we're on the road one time, and Obie O'Brien from St. Catharines, Ontario, he was our captain. He was something wrong with him, his leg or something, and we went to a doctor's. And the bottle started, and Obie told me, this is the story Obie told me. The bottle started to bounce all over the place, and they wondered, what the hell's going on? They went out in the lobby of the doctor's place, and here was Larry punching the walls. He was breaking in a new pair of gloves. And, you know, somebody told him to put ice on, or oil on them. And you know what happens when you put oil on them, they all get all squishy and everything. Brand new gloves. He was afraid to ask for a new one. No, he was, you had to do something to him, but the guy, I room with him, unfortunately. Oh, he wasn't the bad guy to room with. You go for walks, like he couldn't sleep at night, eh? You go for walks.
Well, he was pretty, like I met him a couple of times. He was a pretty wound up guy.
Oh, yeah. Well, tell that story, Tim, when you were sitting.
So you were coaching Colorado, so we got him seats to the games, so he sat. So he comes down, and Mom said, "Tim, you sit next to Larry." So I sat next to Larry, and he's jumping up and down, and he was elbowing me. See that guy going to the corner? He says, "They would have had to steam him off the boards. Look at the guy standing in front of the net." He says, "Your dad and I would have cut him in two." And he kept hitting me and jumping up and down, and he was a pretty. He looked like he was a pretty intense.
Oh,
guy.
Oh, he was an intense guy. And
did he fight a lot or?
No, he wasn't a good fighter. He didn't fight a lot. He was a stick guy. But the guy I found the most, and I room with him again. I can't figure it out, but I room with him was Connie Madigan. He was the guy that. But I could tell a lot of stories about Connie Madigan, and I could tell a lot of stories about both of them. I remember Bo Elick. Bo Elick played in, and I think his nephew played Todd Elick. Anyhow. It doesn't matter. And I remember Hershey. I remember like yesterday. And he dumped the puck in. They were beating us. And he said, "Go chase it, Larry. Go chase the puck, Larry." And I told the guy, I told one of the guys, he says, "Look, don't infuriate this guy."
Larry Zidell.
Yeah. I went to one of their players and I said, "Tell Bo that don't infuriate this guy because he's going to be sorry." Now, Bo Elick, I think he had 28 goals, 30 goals. He was going to make the National Hockey League, New York Rangers, I think it was. And he dumped it in again. He said, "Go chase it, Larry." He took the stick, and I couldn't believe it. And he hit him right in the nose with the end of his stick. And I thought he was dead. I really did think he was dead. And there, and you know, all the players, they were all around.
And this is his own teammate.
No. I think he was playing for Cleveland at the time.
Oh, okay.
Who was he playing for? No, he wasn't playing for Providence, I think, at the time. And he told Larry to go chase the puck. He was icing. Go chase the puck, Larry. Go chase the puck. And I told one of their players, "Don't infuriate this guy. Hit him in the nose." And Larry skated around with his stick. And, you know, all the guys come out to see the guy laying there. Looked like he's dead. And he skated around. And nobody even looked at him because he'd have cut your head off. He was all excited, eh? And he went, and I have to say, and I remember one time we were in a fight with I was in a fight with Ian Cushman. I keep bringing up these names, Ian Cushman. And I was in Cleveland, yeah. And I think it was. Anyhow, it doesn't matter. And Larry picked up the door and threw it out on the ice and got a misconduct. So that night.
But you were like fighting in the penalty box?
Yeah, we're fighting in the penalty box.
He ripped off the gate.
He ripped off the gate and threw it out on the ice, and he got a misconduct for doing that. Well, I remember the policeman, he tapped me on the head. He says, I think you've done enough, son. I says, I think I have, sir.
What, he put you with a blackjack?
Oh, just a small blackjack. He did.
Tell us a story about when you first met Connie Mannegan and called him his nickname.
Oh, yeah.
So you're saying Connie, though, was
Connie, where, there's was, no was, doubt in my mind. I room with both of them. I should know which one was more violent. And I remember when, I think it was, I was sent out. You want to hear the story of how I was sent out? I went out the night before, and I had about three beers with Claude Dufour. He was a goaltender that I played with in Hershey. So we had three beers. So Sammy Pollock calls me in. Sammy Pollock, the smartest guy I've ever met in hockey, calls me in. He was general manager of the Montreal Canadiens. And he says, I understand you're having a few beers. I said, well, I have two or three beers. And he says, well, we don't do that. And I little did I know that they had visions of me being a player coach in Ottawa Hall. Anyhow, doesn't matter. So I got sent out, and he says, well, no, and then I walked in, and he said that to me. He says, well, we're going to send you to Washington. And I said, well, geez, Washington's got a team in the American Hockey League. That's where I played. That's good. That's close to Hershey. That's where Rose comes from.
So you're like Washington, D.C.
D.C., yeah.
And I thought Washington, D.C., not bad. And after, when it was all over, he said, no, you're going to Spokane, Washington. I didn't even know how to say it. I said, Spokane.
Spokane, yeah, because it ends with an E, yeah.
Yeah, Kane. I thought, Spokane. So we drove out there, and that's where I met Kai. So
Mom and Dad, Mom and I.
And I kept saying, Cindy, look, you know. Look out.
And look for bears and look for this and look for that.
And I think if the car didn't break down and anything.
Right across the whole United States.
Yep.
And I had a little spot in the back.
Yeah, yeah.
Playing with my little dolls and all the. Yep.
Yeah, I remember we drove all the way out. And the car never broke down either. It was a 55 Pontiac Parisienne.
When you think about it, everything you own, you could fit into that car.
It was beautiful, beautiful car. I remember it was black and red. It was beautiful. So anyhow. We drove out. I got there. So he said, all the guys kept telling me, you got to go to Jack Tars. You got to go to Jack Tars. There's a bar right beside Jack Tars. And so we went into the bar, and you know, the whole team was in there. And he said, they had every beer that was in that you could get, and you could get there. So yeah, people asked for a few autographs and that. And he signed his name Conn, Conn. And, you know, and I we all call him Connie, and he's Conn. I said, that's a good name for you, Conn. And I didn't know it that he just got out of jail for assaulting a guy. Boy, he just went bananas. And I think, what is he going bananas for? So we went outside. I remember.
So this was it. He called you on it.
He said, let's go outside. He says, we'll settle this. Sure, let's go outside. I didn't know who he was. I didn't know who he was. I don't think I'd have gone outside with him. Well, I didn't know him, you know. So we went out, and it was a car lot, and the cars, you know, parked pretty close. It was raining. You can't believe how it was raining out there, and I thought this, and if I'd have ever fallen down, if he'd ever knocked me down, you know, he was a street fighter. He could really fight.
Yeah, he would have put the boots to
you. Yeah, he would have. And the guy that saw us standing in between his cars, wondering what the hell we were doing standing in the rain, phoned the police. That's the only thing that saved me. So I was
you became pretty good friends.
And then we became friends.
Or there's that time. Can you tell us the time where you were in a bar, almost an empty bar, and you two were sitting together?
That was the time.
And then he went up to go to the bathroom, and someone sat beside you?
It was an empty bar.
Empty bar.
Bill Ryan's bar, and Steve Woodyuck had this bar, and they call it Smoke Shop. Steve's Smoke Shop, I remember now. And so Connie and I are drinking beer, watching TV or something, and he gets up and he finishes his beer and then goes up and goes to the washroom. So I'm like thinking, this guy come up and sat beside me.
The bar's empty.
There was
empty.
An empty seat beside me, and he said, "That's my seat."
So now
and the guy is a big guy.
Connie comes back and says, "That's my seat."
That's my seat. And he's a big guy. The guy is a big guy. He's a military police. They found out later he was military police for the Air Force out there. There's a big Air Force base out there. And the guy says, "Well, you can sit on that side." He says, "I'm not sitting that side. You sit on that side." Well, they had a fight. I'm not kidding. They had a fight. It was like a Tom Mix, you know, like the tables flipping in the air.
Unbelievable.
And I figured, you know, and I'm going nuts. I'm sitting there and watching this tables flying. And Bill Ryan, I remember, he didn't want any, nobody wanted any part of it. Who would want to be?
So then the state troopers come in.
Then I thought, the police are going to come. And he phoned the police. Bill phoned the police because they were wrecking the place. So he had Connie down. And I remember Connie saying to him, I remember clear as bell. He says, "You better let me up." He says, "If you don't let me up," he says, "or you better do something to me." He says, "You better kill me, because when I get up, I'm killing you." What if I get into here? So I got on top.
So you grabbed him.
The guy turned to me and said, "What am I going to do?" So I jumped. I got off the table and I grabbed, and I had a death grip on his arms. And I got on. I said, "Now get out of here." And the guy, "Get out of here." And I got and we were fighting. He was going to get me. So I got him up against the wall, and I knew he was going to knee me in the groin. I just knew it. You know how you get a feeling, nothing? And I crossed my legs, and he kneed me. So finally, we calmed down. No police came yet. And I never forgot, he said to me, he says, "If I ever get," and we calmed down. I said, "I'm going to let you go." Well, you should have seen the bruise on his arms the next day. I had a death grip on. I said, "No." So I let him go, and he says, "I'm going to let you," he says, "if you ever, ever interfere in a fight I am again," he says, "I'll kill you."
So, Dad, wasn't he in Slapshot?
Tim says he was.
Yeah, he was. You remember at the end when they're bringing out all the old
Orgley Oglethorpe, I remember.
Yeah, no, he comes out, and they're introducing the things, and he was Mad Dog Madison.
Yeah, his real name was Mad Dog Madigan.
Yeah.
And he really was Mad Dog. Yeah. And you know, I'm going to end this story. I'll tell you a story. This is a true story. It was Christmas morning, and you know, Cindy was there, and Rose
wasn't.
Was pregnant with you, said Tim. Yeah. And so I heard the stairs come up the stairs. And I remember that our landlord's name, the Maynards. I should tell that story sometime. So anyhow, He goes next door, and he comes right to our place right away. And I, what the heck? So he opens the door, and he comes in, and he's got a bottle of whiskey. And he says, "I'm going to kill him. He's going to kill everybody."
Is this Christmas morning or Christmas Eve?
It's Christmas morning.
So who's he mad at?
He was mad at Jim Holdaway and his wife. That what happened was he went up and knocked on the door. He was all alone, like Connie was all alone.
Yeah, he's a single guy.
So he knocked on the door to give him the thing. He said, "Oh, thanks very much."
Brandy. He was giving them a drink. Brandy.
I forget what it was. Yeah. It was something. And when he came to our place, he was just infuriated. "I'm going to kill him."
Because he didn't invite him in.
Then, you know, he wanted to come in and...
Because then Mom was trying to calm him down, I can remember, and saying, "Now, Connie, they're just married. This is their first Christmas together. Yeah. You know, let them be."
No, he says, "I'm going to kill him." And I knew this was in trouble because he had tears in his eyes. And he said, "I'm leaving." So he left. And the next day in practice, or the day when we did practice, I never forgot this as long as I live. He took his stick and he hit Holloway in the mouth. And it was an awful sound, like a pop, like something like that. And knocked all his teeth out in front. And the ambulance came. It was just terrible.
And it made it to the radio, because I remember the wives were over having coffee at Mom's place, and she had the radio on, and they said the ambulance is at Spokane?
It was Connie.
Right? Yep. And they go, "Oh, I wonder who was injured at the practice."
Yeah. So it's Connie and I are sitting at the bar again. It's at the same bar, same spot. Terrible. Yeah, we shouldn't have been there, but anyhow, we're sitting there. And he come on the news. It come on the news. We were looking at the news, and there's so much blood that came through the towel. I remember the blood come through the towel. And I'm sitting there. I never said a word. Finally finishes his drink, plays it down. He says, I guess he'll invite me in next time.
Like, what are the other, what did the players do when he did it? Like, your team?
Nobody did a thing to Connie. Nobody, because
or the coach?
He gets it. No, this coach was scared of him. Everybody was scared of him. Everybody was scared of Connie.
Because I remember that we had that, I remember the one thing, you had the, somebody sent a picture of him in yeah. a suit at the team picture, and he was in a suit sitting next to you.
I don't understand that one. I remember the team picture, but I remember him coming out. I don't know why he wasn't.
And you said, move over.
Yeah, he said, move over, and he's sitting beside me. I still got that picture. Yeah, we looked like pretty good, tough guys back in those days. Yeah, but
here's two funny things, though, with that. Connie was the oldest rookie ever in the NHL
yeah.
at 38.
And St. Louis, I think.
It was St. Louis. And right behind him was Larry Zidell in Philly.
Well, everybody needed a tough guy. And I'll tell you one thing. They could straighten an awful guy. But you know, Tim, I got to say something. I don't remember them ever biting anybody.